This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أنشدت بسم الله ثم الحمد له فالله أهل الحمد إن الحمد له يا ربي أنت كلما رزقتني رأيت خيرا سابغا لحد له بك الرجاء وحبكم ربي سرى في القلب ثم زانه فجمله أنت الذي سترت ما يعيبني وجدت لي.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, in the famous incident in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam known as the slander of Aisha, one of the most painful episodes in the seerah, one of the episodes that touched in the household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is a tertiary story that I will begin my khutbah with today. And that story involves one of the people who spread this evil slander and rumor. One of the people who fell prey to the hypocrites and spread this evil, vile lie was none other than a second cousin of Aisha radiallahu anha herself. Mistah, who was the son of a cousin of Abu Bakr. Mistah, not one of the hypocrites. He was of the Muhajirun. He was of the Sahaba. But for whatever reason, we don't know why, family politics, whatever it might be, we don't know. Somebody who was a close blood relative of Aisha herself fell prey and also began spreading this evil, vile lie. And to make matters worse, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, before this incident, would be giving him a monthly stipend. He would be helping him out financially because Mistah was young, unemployed, single, muhajir. He didn't have a job. He had left everything in Mecca. Now he had come to Medina, and Abu Bakr, having some wealth, began to sponsor him. Here, take a gift. He would regularly give him gifts. And despite all of that, Mistah began spreading this lie. Can you imagine how Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu felt? Can you imagine, not only is he blood, not only is he relative, on top of that he owes Abu Bakr so much, and yet he is doing what he is doing. Not surprisingly, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, when he heard this person was doing this, he said, "Wallahi, I will never pay him a penny as long as I live." That is the least one could imagine. I think if any of us were in that situation, we wouldn't have just said, "I'm going to stop paying payments." We would have gone more than this. But Abu Bakr, being Abu Bakr, all he said, "I'm not going to pay him anything more. I'm not going to give him any more gifts." The incident happened. Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed what he revealed. Aisha's honor radiallahu anha is cleared. And then, as an addendum to the story of Aisha, Allah revealed a verse for Abu Bakr's ears. We recite it to this day. It's in the Quran. Allah revealed a verse teaching Abu Bakr as-Siddiq what it means to be as-Siddiq. وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَسَّعَتِي أَنْ يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Let not those of status amongst you and those of wealth. Ya Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, you are a man of status. You are not an average person. And you are a man of wealth. Allah has blessed you. Do not use the name of Allah. Don't bring in Allah and say, "Wallahi." Do not give a qasam that you will stop giving money to your relative and a poor person and a muhajir. Three characteristics Allah mentioned of the one who slandered Aisha. Allah found the good in him. The one who committed this crime, this pernicious, vile crime. And Allah said, these are three positives he had. He is your relative, he is poor, and he's a muhajir. And you used the name of Allah, and you said, wallahi, I'm not going to give him any sadaqah. Allah is saying, don't use my name to stop giving sadaqah to a relative and a poor person and a muhajir. Ya Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, you are higher than this. You are better than this. وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. Forgive, Ya Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and turn over a new leaf. Forgive. Erase this from your heart and turn over. Pretend it never happened. Turn over a new leaf. Then, directly addressing Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Allah says in the Quran, أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Don't you want Allah to forgive you? Don't you want Allah? What if Allah dealt with you in the same manner? What if Allah took every sin, every crime, every incident and never forgot it? What would you do? So ya Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and through Abu Bakr, all of us. Don't you want Allah to forgive you when you forgive others? When Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu heard this verse, he made kafara, he gave up the nadhr, he made a kafara to absolve the oath. And then he said, wallahi, as Allah is my witness, I will continue to give sadaqah to him as long as I live. And he never stopped his charity as long as he lived. Even though Mustah became wealthy, he had a job, doesn't matter. He made the qasam, Abu Bakr continued to pay as long as Abu Bakr was alive. I began my topic today with this story to illustrate for us one of the beautiful characteristics of our religion. One that we remind ourselves of, strive to achieve, even if we cannot achieve perfection, we always have it as our goal. And that is to forgive and to have a clean heart towards our fellow believers. To forgive and to forget. To forgive the grudges that we have with one another. To have a heart that is not full of nastiness, of evil, of hatred, of enmity, of jealousy, of retribution, wanting to get revenge. No! وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. Remove this from your heart. That's what afu means. Have no trace of that evil in your heart. وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. Give the guy another chance. Turn over a new leaf. And this concept of forgiveness is something that runs throughout the Quran, throughout the seerah, throughout the sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Was not our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam the embodiment of virtue? Was he not the symbol of mercy? Was he not rahmatan lil alameen? How many instances in his lifetime, and he kept on forgiving, he kept on turning the other cheek. And this is something that is well known. How many times our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the opportunity to exact revenge and he forgave. And of course, of the most obvious ones is the incident of Ta'if, when our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was literally asked by Allah, do you want to get a revengeance? Do you want to be having all of that anger that you have? You want it to now be challenged and you want to destroy these people? If you do so, Ya Rasulullah, not only has Allah allowed you, he has sent the angel, do as you please. The angel is now under your command. If you want, you have every right to destroy them. And at that point in time, when the blood had not even dried from his body sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he can still feel the pains of that stones, he said, no, I shall forgive them, perhaps from their children. Allah azza wa jal will bring iman from their children. And that's exactly what happened. And the same goes for the incident of the conquest of Mecca. As we know, in the incident of the conquest of Mecca, we all know that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered that city, and all of the people of the Quraysh that were still alive at that time, they come out trembling, they come out scared. What is he going to do to us? After 20 years of persecution, 20 years of killing the Muslims, there's a long list of dead Muslims. There's a long list of vengeance if you wanted to, starting with Hamza and what they did with Hamza radiallahu anhu, all through Ammar ibn Yasir and his parents, Sumayya and Yasir, all through Bilal. Every single Sahabi has grudges, has a legitimate claim. They they come out scared, they come out terrified. And he said to them, what do you think I shall do to you? Now they are begging for mercy. And they said, don't forget, you are our brother. You are our brother and the son of our brother. Your father was a relative of ours. By the way, where was this brotherhood for 20 years? They forgot it themselves. But now they're begging for mercy. And so what did our Prophet ﷺ say? Go, you are free. I'm not going to take one person's life, one person's belongings. Go, all of you are free. And Abu Sufyan, the leader of the Quraysh, Abu Sufyan was shocked. And he began saying out loud, ما أكرمك ما أحلمك ما أغفرك. How generous are you, Ya Rasulullah? How forgiving are you? How kind are you? He could not believe that after all of these years, and now when he has the opportunity, Abu Sufyan has been center stage. He has seen and done things. He knows what exactly they deserve. If anyone knows, it is Abu Sufyan. And now when full power is in the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when no one in history would ever have accused him of injustice, when he has all authority and right to do as he pleased, he turned the other cheek. And even Abu Sufyan could not believe it, and he began praising, how generous are you? Where does this generosity come from? How forgiving are you? How kareem are you? He could not accept, utter his amazement out loud. And that is why indeed our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent as one who was ala khuluqin azim, of the best of all characteristics and noble manners. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran that it is a characteristic of iman to forgive. The mu'min is forgiving to one's brothers. The mu'min overlooks the faults and the sins that are done. And realize the stories I've quoted in front of you today. Yeah, believers in Islam, these stories are actual dhulm, legitimate dhulm against Allah and His Messenger. And still, Rasulullah s.a.w. forgave. How about petty things that happened between me and you? How about something of the dunya, that the huquq we are negotiating over, and maybe I do something that irritates you, you do something that irritates me? When it came to the huquq of Allah, the huquq of Islam, the Prophet ﷺ demonstrated, if you're able to forgive, forgive. How about the huquq of money? How about the huquq of me and you, and the petty, trivial things between us? Should we not be even more worthy of forgiveness? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ. Race to a forgiveness, and race to a Jannah that is as vast as the heavens and earth. And then Allah describes, who are those people who deserve forgiveness from Allah? Who are those people who deserve Jannah, whose width is as vast as the heavens and earth? Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that they are those who, كَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. They control their anger and they forgive the people. They control their anger and they forgive all of mankind. No conditions. You don't just forgive those that you have some relationship with. You don't forgive those who... No. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. Forgiving all of mankind. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And Allah loves those who do ihsan even more than this. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was described, when Aisha was asked, how was our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? She described him by saying, he was never vulgar, he was never vile, and he would forgive those who did wrong unto him. This is the description that he gave. مَا كَانَ فَاحِشًا وَلَا مُتَفَحِشٍ. He never said something bad. He never said a harsh word. And he would forgive those who did ظلم unto him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he felt hurt that the Quraysh are doing what they are doing, Allah revealed in the Quran, فَعْفُوا وَصْفَحُوا. Then forgive them and turn the other cheek. فَعْفُوا وَصْفَحُوا. Forgive them and turn the other cheek. And the majority of those, in fact, all of the Quraysh who were alive when the Mecca was conquered, they embraced Islam. All of them, other than two or three. So the entire city embraced Islam after the conquest of Mecca. If that forgiveness had not taken place in the beginning of Islam, there would be no converts at the end of Islam. فَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. Forgive and forget. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Quran regarding a group of people who broke Allah's covenant and they attempted to trick the Muslims in early Islam. Allah Azza wa Jal says to the Muslims at that time that go ahead and forgive and overlook, and Allah Azza wa Jal loves those who practice ihsan. Even when it comes to the most heinous crime, the most evil evil crime that any man can do against another man, and that is the crime of murder. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِصَاصُ فِي الْقَتْلَى. Qisas, qisas means a life for a life. The murderer deserves death. This is the Islamic ruling. The one who kills another person intentionally, that person deserves to be killed after trial, after everything takes place in the court of law. That is the death penalty for the murderer. Then Allah says in the Quran, فَمَنْ عُفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ شَيْءٌ. But whoever forgives his brother, whoever forgives his brother, should then be followed up with ma'roof and good deeds. In other words, Allah is saying, this is a long verse to summarize, Allah is saying, I give you full permission, O family members of the murdered. You have every right to sue in the court of law. You go and take your case and you execute after the court has found guilty. You execute this person and you take the murder and you take the death penalty upon this person. But then Allah says, but if you forgive your brother in Islam, فَمَنْ عُفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ شَيْءٌ, this is going to be better for you. Even the murderer, Allah says, if you forgive, it is better. Because why? When you forgive, you allow this person as well a new opportunity, a new chance. When you forgive, you show you are the better of the two and you earn Allah's pleasure. So Allah allows qisas, but Allah says if you forgive, it is still better for you. And realize this forgiveness is for all and especially for family. The irony, dear Muslims, is that when it comes to family, wallahi, we find forgiveness even more difficult because it's understandable. When our family member does something, it hurts us even more. Understandable. But realize, because it is family, forgiveness should be a higher priority. And in the Quran, we have so many examples. First and foremost amongst them is the example of Yusuf alayhi salam. If anyone has the right to exact vengeance, if anyone has the right to not forgive, it is Yusuf alayhi salam. His own brethren threw him into the well. His own brethren lied about his death. His own brethren left him to rot. They did not know whether he would die of starvation or he would die of whatever, and they walked and they turned their backs. They're hearing their brother cry. They're hearing him beg and plead, and this is a child here, and these teenagers and young men walk away out of despite and anger. And then the tables are turned, as we know, and Yusuf becomes the minister, and the brethren come begging for food, and they recognize him and they then ask for forgiveness. And Yusuf says, don't worry, يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. He made it a statement of fact. Allah shall forgive you. He didn't even say, I forgive you. He put himself out of the picture. There's no, I don't even have an issue with you. And because I don't have an issue with you, then Allah will not have an issue with you, because you did dhulm to me. I have the haqq. If I have forgiven you, then Allah will forgive you. So he made it a statement of fact. يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Allah shall forgive you. And he said to his father that, oh my father, don't worry. It was shaitan who put issues between me and my brother. مِن بَعْدِ أَنَّزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنِ إِخْوَتِي. He didn't even blame his brothers for what his brothers did. He said, it's shaitan's fault, not my brother's fault. Look at the adab of Yusuf. Look at how high manners he had. He did not even say, oh, those guys did this. No, no, no. Shaitan caused some issues and Allah shall forgive you. Subhanallah. What adab we have in Yusuf alayhi salam to forgive what his brothers have done. And I say this, subhanallah, when I give lectures and khutbah, that no matter what has happened, inshallah, your brother did not try to sell you into slavery. Inshallah, your brother did not throw you into a well and left you for dead. Whatever your brother, your cousin, your uncle, your aunt has done, surely it is not worse than what the brothers of Yusuf did to Yusuf. And yet, what did Yusuf do in return? Yaghfirullah. Allah shall forgive you. Don't worry, there's no issues with me. Allah Azza wa Jal will bring our hearts together again. And Allah reminds us in the Quran, especially when it comes to family, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ وَأَوْلَادِكُمْ عَدُوًا لَكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوهُمْ وَإِنْ تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفَحُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Some of your family members, Allah is saying, they're going to be a type of enmity or animosity towards you. Meaning, some of your family members will be asking you things that are haram. You might be tempted to do haram for them. They want things you cannot give them, so you might be tempted to do haram. You might blame them for this. Allah is saying, no, forgive and turn over a new leaf. وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. Forgive them and turn over a new leaf. Don't take your family as your enemies. Forgive your family, forgive your children, forgive your spouses. That's how love will flourish in a household. Love is not going to flourish. A marriage is not going to flourish if you never forgive. You hold on to grudges. Everything that is said, you keep it in your memory. No! وَلْيَعْفُوا. Erase it from your heart. This is what afu means. Don't even keep it. As we say, forgive and forget. وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. Give them a new chance. Turn over a new leaf. Don't think of the past and keep on regurgitating it. This is an ayah that is explicit for husbands and wives, explicit for spouses, to bring about marital harmony. Allah is saying, don't keep each and everything in your memory. Let it go and forgive for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, dear brothers and sisters, if somebody might point out that, hold on a sec, sometimes the Prophet ﷺ did not forgive. Did he not execute a certain of the Sahaba, certain of the Quraysh at specific timings in the seerah? And we say, indeed it is true. If you look at the whole seerah, 23 years, you will find a handful of people. You can count them on the fingers of one hand. That's it. That the Prophet ﷺ said, these people should not be forgiven. And he made dua against them. But who are these people? Are you going to make qiyas of Abu Jahl with some relative that might have done something wrong towards you? I say to you categorically, you will not find a single Muslim or even a pagan who wanted to repent, who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam genuinely sorry, except that the Prophet sallallahu forgave that person without any conditions. The son of Abu Jahl, Ikrimah. And if you know what Ikrimah has done, you know what Ikrimah has done. The son of Abu Jahl came asking forgiveness, and the Prophet sallallahu forgave. Yes, it is true, he didn't forgive Abu Jahl. But who is Abu Jahl compared to anybody who has done something against you? Don't bring these exceptions, then make them the rule. It is true, once in a while, some very few people, they do not deserve forgiveness. But in the entire seerah, anybody who came asking, saying, I am sorry, saying, I come to Islam, acknowledging their mistake, anyone, from beginning to end, our Prophet ﷺ always gave them a new opportunity without any exception. Now, to conclude the first khutbah, what I have spoken about is the ideal. And the ideal, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. Forgive and forget. Literally, this is in the Quran. وَلْيَعْفُوا. Have a clean heart. وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. Give them a new chance. However, you see, our Lord is so merciful. Our religion is so perfect. Wallahi, it is so perfect. If we only studied our faith, our iman would skyrocket. You see, Allah told us the ideal. But let us be honest. Can we all live up to the ideal? No. So in Allah's rahmah, He's given us a spectrum. In Allah's rahmah, He has told us we have options to do. And whatever we choose amongst these options, it is permissible. But some are more rewarding than others. At a bare minimal level, at a bare minimal level, we are allowed to return evil with evil. And we shall not be sinful if we do so. But we shall also not be rewarded. If somebody cuts off with us, and we cut off with them. If somebody says something nasty to me, and I say something nasty, exact same. By the way, it must be exact same. Because if you go more, if he curses you once, you curse him 10 times. Now on judgment day, you have to answer to Allah for the 9, by the way. So that's one other point, by the way. Because you can go worse. If somebody harmed you a little bit, you harmed him in return more. On judgment day, you have to answer Allah. You went the extra mile. But let's leave that for now. Suppose somebody said something nasty in anger. You became angry. You said something similar back. In the beauty and the perfection of our religion, guess what? It is allowed. You're not sinful. And you're not praiseworthy. وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. The response of an evil, you are allowed to give the exact same evil back. Somebody cuts you off, you cut them off, okay, that is allowed. Better than this, one level higher, is that you forgive and you move on. You don't hold a grudge, but you don't necessarily come back to that person and mend your ways. I.e., somebody says something nasty to you, you calm down, you forgive, and then that friendship is gone. That kindness that you had is gone. But your heart is now, okay, may Allah forgive. This is one level higher. You shall get a reward, and you have done good. No problem with there. And Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ. Good and bad are not the same. ادفع بالتي هي أحسن. Respond with the better of the two. When somebody does good, somebody does bad, you do good in return. So somebody says something nasty, you forgive in return. Alhamdulillah. This is the higher level. The highest level, which is the level of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, which is the level of the prophets of Allah. The highest level is you go the extra mile. You make sure that you mend any issues that have happened. You show you are the better of the two. You forgive, you forget, and you mend any broken bonds between them. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran. Because the verse finishes, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِي أَحْسَنُ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. Respond to evil with good, and you shall find the one who was your worst enemy becomes your best friend. This is what Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu is being told. This man did what he did, respond to him with good. And in fact, it is said Abu Bakr increased the stipend. Abu Bakr increased the money after he did what he did to his own daughter. Abu Bakr paid him even more sadaqah. How do you think Mustah felt? Do you not think Mustah would have corrected his ways, become the better person? So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq became the better of the two, and then he helped guide Mustah through the better of his manners as well. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, this spectrum is there for us. Not everybody can forgive. And it is true, by the way, sometimes somebody has done something so evil and they are unrepentant that you don't find it in your heart to forgive. Okay, if that is the case, let it be. You don't have to necessarily forgive. But if you're able to forgive, even better. And if you're able to forgive and mend, that is the best. And that is the maqam of prophets, and that is the maqam of the siddiqeen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst them. Barakallah li wa lakum fi al-Qur'an al-Azim, wa nafa'ani wa iyaakum bima fihi min al-ayati wa dhikr al-hakim. Aqulu ma tasma'un, wa astaghfirullah al-Azim li wa lakum, wa li sa'iril muslimin min kulli dhanbin, fastaghfiruhu innahu huwa al-ghafur al-rahim. Astaghfirullah. الحمد لله الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وبعد. Briefly, how can we forgive if we choose to do so? And again, I want to reiterate, it is true sometimes a crime has been done that has scarred you so bad that you don't find it in your heart to forgive the person who did that. The beauty of our religion, we are not obliged to forgive. I want to reiterate that. We're not obliged to forgive. It is possible you hold a grudge until judgment day. And it is possible that you ask Allah Azza wa Jal to, therefore you sue in the court of Allah, so and so did this. Oh Allah, I want reward for what has happened. That is legitimate. It is halal. And if anybody chooses that option, they do not need to feel guilty. But I still say, that is not the best option. It is halal, it is ja'iz. But the better option is to have a clean heart and to forgive. And the best option is to have a clean heart and forgive and mend your ways and make sure you have that relationship, especially if they are family, if they are brethren, if they are cousins and uncles and aunts, if they were close friends, then you should maintain that level no matter what has happened. The question is, how can it be done? Briefly, 2 points. Firstly, psychological. Secondly, religious. As for psychologically, realize that when you hold a grudge, when you hold animosity, when you hold resentment in your heart, the reality is, whether you like it or not, you are acknowledging that person has power over you. You are acknowledging that person has power over you. And you are still suffering as a result of the grief and the trauma that that person has inflicted. For you to be a better person, forget the other person, for you to be a better person, for your heart to heal, you need to let go. You need to make your heart pure for your sake, not just for the other person's sake. So even psychologically, forgiving brings about healing. In fact, one of our scholars said, the one who feels anger towards somebody else, towards the one who does wrong, the one who wants to get revenge, that person, in fact, it is like he's holding a burning coal, wanting to throw it at that person, but he never throws it. He keeps on holding the coal, and the coal is burning in his hand. It's not affecting the other person. And this is so true. When you are full of anger towards another person, you're full of resentment, you're full of hatred, you're full of vengeance, who is the one still hurting? It's you, not the other person. You're the one not going to sleep except thinking about that person. You're the one not enjoying life because of that person. This is the beauty of our religion. Forgive and you will become better. Forgive and you are the better of the two. Forgive and your heart will flourish and grow. So even psychologically, it is better for us to forgive. And then as for religiously, realize, dear Muslims, that when you forgive others, Allah has promised to forgive you. This is the beauty. Allah is telling us, be selfish. Be selfish. If you really have to, don't forgive for His sake, forgive for your sake. Don't forgive for His sake, forgive for your sake. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ يَا أَبَا بَكَرَ الصِّدِّيقِ. Don't you want Allah to forgive you? So then forgive the other person. So therefore, when you forgive others, Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive you. When you have it in your heart to show mercy to others, Allah will show mercy to you. So you use this as an incentive. You use this as an incentive. I'm not doing it for the other person. The other person, that's his business. But I am doing it for myself. On judgment day, I will get a bigger reward, a better reward, and I will get the lion's share of maghfirah. I will get the hasanat he has done to me, and as well as that, I will get Allah's reward for forgiving him. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, when you forgive someone, you do not give up your huquq completely. No, you give up your huquq for a prize from Allah. Allah will give you more for giving up your huquq for His sake. That's the beauty of our religion. It's not as if you're going to lose anything. On the contrary, when you forgive, you become the winner in this world and most importantly in the next. Dear Muslims, there's a famous hadith, and I conclude with this, that one of the Sahaba, in the Muslim Imam Ahmad, that one of the Sahaba entered the masjid and our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that man is a man who shall enter Jannah. And the Sahaba did not really recognize him. He's not one of the big shots, one of the famous Sahabi. And so Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As decided to find out the story. It's a very long story. In the end of it, we learned the reason. For 3 days he stayed with him. Then he said, look, I stayed with you 3 days. I don't know. What are you doing extra special that we're not doing? That why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say you're going to Jannah? What is the special thing about you? We're doing everything. Your salah, zakah, I'm doing it as well. What are you doing that I'm not doing? I want to know. And so the man said, the only thing I can think of, every night I go to sleep, I have a clean heart and I forgive everyone. I don't hold any grudge. I don't hold any animosity. Every night I go to sleep, I check my heart. I make sure there's no anger towards another Muslim. If there's anything extra that I do, that is it. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As said, that is the reason why our Prophet ﷺ said, you are a man of Jannah. Dear Muslim brother and sister, have pure hearts against fellow believers. Try to forgive. Try to turn over a new leaf and do so for your sanity and for the pleasure of Allah سبحانه وتعالى اللهم إني داع فأمنوا اللهم لا تدع في هذا اليوم ذنبا إلا غفرت ولا هما إلا فرجت ولا دينا إلا قضيت ولا مريضا إلا شفيت ولا عسيرا إلا يسرت اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم من أرادنا أو أراد الإسلام المسلمين بسوء فاشغله بنفسه وجعل تدميره في تدبيره يا قوي يا عزيز عباد الله إن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه فقال عز من قائل عليما إن الله وملائكة يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك رسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين عباد الله إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر وأقم الصلاة.
لا يزال الخير حيا لا يزال إن في الدنيا سلاما وظلال أخبر الأيام أنها في وصال قم بنا وانظر لآيات الجمال قم بنا وانظر لآيات الجمال.